Alice, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Philomena.
So you're a space archaeologist. What does that mean?
Well, people are used to thinking of archaeology as being the study of old things, but it's actually the study of how humans interact with the material world, objects and environments and structures around them. So that means it doesn't have to be in the past. You can do archaeology on stuff in the present and even a little bit into the future. So that's what I do. I look at all of those material things that make up the human engagement with outer space.
Oh, amazing. And so were you passionate about space from a young age?
When I was a little kid, I wanted to be an astrophysicist or an archaeologist, and I never quite imagined that I would be able to combine space and archaeology together. Most of my career, I was just a regular archaeologist. I specialised in Indigenous archaeology in Australia. But at a certain point, I just had this revelation that I could work on space stuff, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
That is awesome. When you tell people, what's their response?
Oh, I get a lot of different responses. Some people are just like, what? Like, what is this? And other people say, oh, okay, now that you explain it like that, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So the first woman made it into space in 1963, and that was Valentina Tereshkova. As you can see, she's Russian.
She is indeed Russian.
That was almost 60 years ago. And then 19 years passed before the second woman made it into space. Why such the big gap?
Well, you know, it comes down to that very basic thing, cultural phenomenon, that men are supposed to be risk takers and brave and courageous and smart and brainy. And women are supposed to be risk averse and stay in the kitchen and do the menial helping tasks. So a lot of this was really just as simple as that. And Valentina Tereshkova, I mean, her flight in some ways, it was an incredible achievement and it was inspirational to women across the world. But it was kind of also a gimmick. It was meant to be, this is the Cold War. So promoting communism as being successful in achieving equality for women was a bit of a propaganda strategy in the West, and Valentina Tereshkova's flight was part of that strategy. So that's why once they'd done that, there was no incentive, real incentive, to keep going with that program. And at the same time in the US, people might have heard of the Mercury 13. These were 13 women pilots who were selected to do the same tests and training as the Mercury 7 male astronauts who did get to go into space. But the Mercury 13 were never allowed to go. And this was, you know, all of those attitudes of the time. It was in the 1960s and 70s. So the first US woman didn't get to go to space till 1983. That was Sally Ride, who was on one of the space shuttle missions. So it's been a game of catch-up for decades.
It has. And so, like, you know, I would say in current days we're getting much better at equality and levelling the male-female barriers. But what's the biggest challenge for women participating in space today?
Well, I have to say there's a lot of goodwill at the moment and a lot of people in the space industry who are looking around and saying, hey, look, we really have to do better than this. So it's a good time for us to be promoting a greater participation of women in space across the board, not just as astronauts. But it is like we're decades behind. So there are still people in space who think that being an astronaut, for example, is just too dangerous or too difficult for women to perform well at. And I mean, a lot of them, if you confronted them, they wouldn't think that they thought that way. But
they
do think that way. And there still is this really basic thing, and we see this across all of the STEM, the science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields. It's just accepted that women won't go into those fields or excel at those fields. And it really does come back to that whole thing of women not being as smart as men. And again, no one would say, oh, I think that, but that's what all of the actions and outcomes indicate. So
this
is still a barrier.
Bias.
Yeah, exactly. But I should perhaps also mention that in Australia, people would be aware that we have a space agency now. Although we do actually have a much deeper, Australia was doing space things from the 1940s, so we've got a long history of space, but it's still only 16% of space industry is women. One of the things about astronauts, I guess, is they're very visible. People get really excited about it. So having women as astronauts is something that can really make an impression, particularly on little kids, you know, when they're at school and thinking, what do I want to be when I grow up? So just having those role models is really, really important.
And so there are a few pathways into employment in the space industry. What are some of them?
Well, not everybody has to be an aerospace engineer, for example, although there's obviously lots of employment opportunities there. A big growth area is space medicine, and both in research, in developing treatments, and it's not even that the results and the methods of space medicine aren't only applicable in space. So looking at how the human body adapts to extreme conditions, you know, we have extreme conditions on Earth as well. So that's an area where you can have a career but still also intersect with space. Space needs everything, really. So we need computer programmers. We need people working on nutrition. We need all of that materials development. So that's a big push in Australian industry at the moment, advanced materials development. So a lot of those will be applicable to space as well. So you don't just have to be an engineer. There's a whole bunch of, and you know, I'm an archaeologist, so I guess I absolutely demonstrate that there are different pathways into space.
You are the perfect example of of how to get your way in there. What would you say is one of the most positive signs for progress in terms of women's access to the space industry?
I would have to say, well, I'll use an example from my own world. So I'm a member of the Space Industry Association of Australia, and I was on the board of directors for a couple of years. I think, in fact, I was the first woman on the advisory council of that organisation. But now the board of directors is half women. And I think that really reflects that women are being seen as a critical part of the industry and that it's necessary to have their voices at the table. Another really positive step is the United Nations, which has been working towards meeting 17 sustainable development goals by the year 2030. So you can jump online and have a look at what those sustainable development goals are. One of those goals, number 5, is equality for women. And the United Nations Office of Outer Space Affairs has set up a program called Space for Women to try and meet that goal, to try and get more women involved in space. And this is quite an exciting program. So they've set up a mentor network of women across the world, and I'm very excited to say that I'm one of these mentors. And our role is just to get out there among, you know, the school kids and the women who are thinking about that, getting into space, or women who are already in it, and just provide resources and encouragement and support. And the recognition at the United Nations level that this is really critical, I think, is a huge step forward. And I'm really excited to be part of this endeavour.
Yeah, congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really positive and really notable step forward. And I will have to catch up with you again, because I think it sounds like there's a lot going on in your space, and it would be great to hear, like, catch up with you again in about 6 months' time and just see what's gone on.
I would love to do that, because things will have gone on. But I guess I'd like to sort of leave people with the message that there are so many ways that space intersects with our lives. Every time you use your smartphone for navigation, you're hooking into satellite networks. So this is stuff that we live with every day. And there are just so many ways to be informed or get involved. It's not just all about being astronauts. This is stuff that we need to be aware of in our everyday life.
Alice Gorman, thank you so much for your time today. It was fabulous speaking with you.
My pleasure, Wilhelmina.
Have a great day.